Know me for quite a few years. We've had had a lot of good times and gone through some stuff together and lived life together. You've heard me share and minister many, many times over the years. And out of all the things that you know about me, there is no two people on the planet that have had more influence in my Christian faith, in my ministry, in my life than John and Linda Kyle. Okay, and they're here with us this morning. They have been a constant encouragement for Margie and I in life and in ministry. I believe it's 27 years that I've known Pastor John and Linda. And out of all that time, there's just been so many things that have influenced my life, so many people that have influenced my life. You know, we all listen to different ministers or preachers or read books and all those things, but John has been one of those guys that has passed on some of those books and has passed on, you know, here's people that are good to listen to and all those things, just like I have tried to do with many of you. It has been it's been life transforming and sorry, I probably should have wrote some notes down. I'll be here for an hour. Hang on. But it'll be good. But I'm just saying all that to say that I am extremely grateful that they can be here with us this morning. I love to worship God, and that heart for worship came from Linda. We played music together. I'm a drummer, you guys know, and I played drums with Linda for, I think, about 12 years, somewhere in there, and spent a lot of time learning and worshiping. So as I praise worship God every single day, 7 days a week, doesn't matter what day of the week it is. I already did this morning. I'm out feeding cows. I'm listening to praise and worship. That's my life. And I attribute that to Linda and the heart that she taught me towards ministry and worship of God. It's just something that I can't get away from. It has been a tremendous influence, and to be led in the right direction on kinds of worship and steering away from secular Christianity and that kind of stuff and things that have really influenced my life, that has come through worshiping with Linda all those years. As far as ministry and the teaching and the things that I have taught, many of you have heard word for word John Kyle already. You have. You've heard it speaking right through me. Because I have not listened to any sermons, any pastor more than I have in my entire life of John Kyle. Not only did we spend that time planting churches, and that's where I learned how to plant churches, was from this couple. But during that time, listening to sermons 2 to 3 times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday nights, whenever else, we did Bible studies and prayer breakfast and all the different things that we did over the years. It has continued on because I continue to listen to his messages and sermons because they're a constant encouragement. Not just a reinforcement of what I already believe, but I believe that, you know, like Billy Graham was one of those guys that when he died, they said, I couldn't think of anything negative to say about this man, that he always taught straight, he was always lived an upright life. I have that right here in living flesh and has shared and influenced my life in that same way. Or I can't think of things that were wrong or things that I need to, you know, that, well, I don't believe that way on that or any of those kind of things. He's a straightforward biblical Bible teaching preacher, and it comes through. But along with that is some of the things that have been the most influential things that have ever happened in my life. Probably the same for many of you. Getting born again. Okay, that is top. You can't beat that. You got to be born again to see Jesus, to go to heaven, to eternal life. All those things is part of that. But second is being baptized in the Holy Spirit, which these guys introduced me to the Holy Spirit and in a more powerful way than I had experienced prior to ever meeting them. And the third most influential thing that has ever happened in my life was being experienced and open to and understanding deliverance. Okay, and having some of the demonic stuff cast out of my life. Many of you know my history, being a drug addict, and I don't even want to go into it all. Drugs, gambling, all that stuff, pornography, all those things that were a part of my life, all the addictions, all the wrong thinking, the guilt, the condemnation, the you know, the anger, the all those kind of things that were negative in my life that were influencing me were addressed through deliverance. Okay? John has been a deliverance ministry, I believe, since 1983, which is a long time to be in deliverance. He is known around the world, literally. And continues to this day to have a radio program that goes on Friday nights. You can check it out on Blog Talk Radio. Many of you have already listened. But Blog Talk Radio, and just search for Deliverance Today with John Kyle, and it'll pop up in there. You can see probably over 100 messages that are already recorded in there, but it's still alive every Friday night. It's still live at 6 o'clock right now. But 450 messages in there. And I promise you, this is my personal guarantee, that if you have struggles in your life and things that you're like, this is a repetitive trouble in my life. I can't seem to get over this. I have this anger issue and I seem to get it under control and it comes back up, that it's very, very likely it's a demonic spirit that has attached itself to your life and you're struggling. You subdue it, you press it back, but it keeps coming up. You can get deliverance from that and not have to do it anymore. Okay? That it's a real possibility. And here's that guarantee that I was going to tell you, that if you tune in even to a radio program and you listen all the way through that program, you'll hear the word preached. You think I use a lot of scriptures? You'll hear the word preached. And then at the end, you can get some deliverance through that radio program. Literally walk away from that listening, tuning in, different than you were when you started listening, because of that deliverance that takes place in your life. And he explains it. He talks about it. I'm doing a big promo right now, but he's written a book, okay, called "Do You Have Demon Troubles? The Spiritual Warrior's Guide to Winning." Okay, this is absolutely critical to understanding life. Some of the things that, you know, you might think of, or other people might think, is just part of your personality. You're just kind of hot-headed. You're just kind of whatever, prideful. You're just kind of whatever. Yeah. Read this and you'll find out what the root of those is and how to get rid of it, okay? So that you can be who God created you to be instead of who the world has influenced you to be. Some of those wounds and hurts, the things that have influenced you over your life, maybe you've been abused, maybe you've been through some tough stuff, okay? And there's some wounds from that. Get some of that stuff addressed and dealt with and put out here where you can now see it for what it is and address it from that distance, okay? So what's that? Yeah, there is. If you read the foreword in this book, there is a guy that you guys have probably heard of. His name is Pastor Gary Gilbert. I don't know. I did write the foreword in there. So, but it's a powerful book, and it's extremely powerful. I've given out some. I have this one up here. I'll put back there as well. But there's a couple sitting back by the door as you leave this morning. If you'd like to grab one, feel free. Just want to give those out and be able to bless people. And I know other people have already read them, and then they pass them on to others because it's something that changes lives. And so you can do that. So I say all that to say I get to introduce my pastor, okay, the man that has influenced me so much over the last almost 30 years and been a tremendous blessing. They're up in the Casper area now, been in Billings, Montana for many years, having church and ministry up in there. They have people flying from all over the world to receive deliverance and get lives changed. People bring their kids to them and they walk away different. They come to them themselves and they walk away different. It's an ongoing ministry, and just encourage you to just seek that out. It's not something you haven't heard of before by me probably, but praise God. Well, without further ado, let me introduce John Kyle. He is my mentor.
Flew in for deliverance. I want to just tell you a quick testimony about a lady that flew in from Tennessee not too long back into Billings to get delivered. And we ministered to her, and we found out that she only had 5 inches of her colon left. You know, they had taken it all out. She couldn't hardly eat. She couldn't hardly go to the bathroom right. And we prayed for that as well after we cast a bunch of demons out of her. We prayed for that, and we heard from her then, man, I'm healed. I'm different in my body. And then we got a letter from her, man, I'm eating normal, you know, and I'm going to the bathroom normal. How do you do that with 5 inches of your colon left? But she's been healed, and it's been going on for quite a while. That was over a year ago, something like that. Praise the Lord. Well, I almost didn't make it here either. Talk about a little healing for me. My wife did the broadcast Friday night. Because I was sick, man. I was feeling bad. I was attacked by the enemy. I guess he didn't want me to come here. So I thought, man, I'm going to call Gary on Saturday morning, Pastor Gary, and let him know I won't be coming. And the Lord said, you're going, you know. And he healed me Friday night, you know, and I was ready to go Saturday morning. It was just man, it was just amazing. Going from, I couldn't hardly even get up and walk to suddenly I'm well. So thank the Lord. He must have wanted me here, brother. Amen. So here to bless you guys, here to speak to you. And Pastor Gary Precious, he's spoken up in Billings, what, a couple times at our church, I guess. And now, first time I'm going to speak of yours. And good to see you all and see your congregation. What a blessing it is to be here. So God is good, folks, I'm telling you. And he will heal. He just healed me. I mean, that was amazing. Amazing grace. God is the healer. Everybody say it together. God is my healer.
God is my healer.
You got to believe it. Amen. You got to believe the word of God or it doesn't work for you. If you can't believe it, what's going to happen? Nothing. Same thing with deliverance. It's by faith that you receive deliverance. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about, because I better get into it. I don't want to keep you past your lunchtime too much. So Look Up is the title. So I want to say, what has had your attention lately? What you've been looking at? We're going to pray first. How about stand up, everybody, and join hands with your neighbor. Let's pray. If you can stand up, you don't have to stand up. You can sit and hold hands too, just as easily. All right, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for blessing, Lord, moving today in my life. Thank you for moving through this word tonight, today, and that you will touch me, that you will minister to me, you will encourage me. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for each and every one here, Lord, that that can be their prayer, that you will encourage them, minister to them, bless them, strengthen them, and Lord, let them rise up to a higher level spiritually, Father, that they'll go higher in you and you'll change their life, Father. We thank you for changing lives, Father, in the name of Jesus. And now just pray for the neighbor that you're holding your hand and say, Lord, bless them. If it's your husband, Lord, bless him. If it's your wife, Lord, bless them. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. You can be seated. So, has life and its problem been lately kind of overwhelming for you? Anybody like that? That's usually the case because the enemy hates us all. He wants to do damage to us any way he can, like he tried to attack me physically. There are other things that go on all the time, and we think, well, that's just life. Well, not everything is just life. Nothing happens for no reason. You know that, right? So sometimes we all face difficulties, impossibilities, obstacles, mountains which seem insurmountable. Like, what are we going to do? You know? How are we going to get through this one? And maybe you're facing something insurmountable right now. I don't know. But Jesus has an answer for us. And I want to share with you today in a way that can help each of us to get through life and be an end-time overcomer. Because I believe we're living in the latter days. And things are happening all the time that kind of proves that to us, you know. We look at the situations in America that are going on right now. I've never seen anything like it before. Have you? If you've been alive as long as I have, man, it has totally changed. So we're looking at a different world today than it used to be. But let's look at what he said here. Show us. He knew how to look beyond the natural. To learn how to look to be an end time overcomer. Okay, I want to show you how he looked be natural. He looked beyond into another world, a world without bondage, a world of favor, a world of blessings. How many know the Bible says the blessing of the Lord what? Maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Remember that Proverbs 10:22? We ought to remind ourselves of that. You know, rich is not just money. I mean, riches in blessings, riches in our health, riches in so many areas, our relationships. He wants you to have rich relationships with your brother and sister. You know, the devil wants you to have war with your brother and sister, right? He wants you to have all kinds of difficulty. But the Bible says we love one another. And that's talking about the body of Christ, loving one another. I mean, they will know that we're Christians by what? Our love that we have. So look at your neighbor right now and say, I love you. Amen. Y'all are precious. But a world of favor, a world without limitations on possibilities, a world without, you know, lack of ability, a world that is different than the natural world, okay? And so I want to tell you how Jesus moved into that realm. You know, Jesus knew how to do that. He knew how to look immediately from the natural realm to the spiritual realm. And we need to be able to do that too. So that's what I want to talk about today, is looking up or eye shifting, like you're shifting gear in a car. Anybody ever had a manual transmission? Yeah, I used to love manual. I don't have any anymore, but I used to love it. Always shifting those gears and driving kind of in ways maybe I shouldn't have driven, but you know, it was fun. But anyway, he knew how to shift. Let's go to John 6:5. We need to learn it, okay? It'll help you to receive and live in the blessing of God. I mean, we live in the blessing of God all the time. I want to live in the blessing of God. And I do live in the blessing of God. He's been so good. John 6, if you have your Bibles, otherwise I'll just read it to you. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he says unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Okay, now, four times this is in the Bible, that Jesus lifted up his eyes. How many know that if it's four times in the Bible, Jesus has something more to say than Jesus is just looking up from the ground? Okay? He's talking about something powerful, something spiritual here. Okay? He lifted up his eyes. Now, this doesn't mean he just looked up from looking down. And a lot of people think that's what it means. When they see that, they just overlook it. You know, we overlook a lot of things in the scripture, you know, that really will speak to us if we allow it to. Okay? And so, this is here for a reason. And it's showing us a shift from the natural to the heavenly. And we need to learn to make that shift too. Jesus knew how to do it, and he did it four times that it's spoken of. He did it more than that, of course, we can see by his actions. In fact, he said, "I only do what I see my Father do." So he knew how to step up there into the realm of the supernatural, which is where we need to learn to live. You know, step outside of this natural realm, because the natural realm can be overwhelming. So many things going on in that realm that the enemy uses to beat you up, wear you out. The Bible says in Daniel, there's two kind of people that it says in the last days. It says in the last days, you know, Satan's going to try to wear out the saints of the Most High. But there's another verse in Daniel 2, another kind of Christians, that says they that know the Lord shall be strong and do exploits. So which one do you want to be? I've already made up my mind. I'm not going to let him wear me out. How about you? But he's doing it to a lot of Christians today. I know we hear from people all over the country. They'll always want deliverance. You know, we have these phone deliverances and people that flew into Billings all or drove into Billings, you know. And the body of Christ, man, they're suffering with all kinds of issues, you know. Some people can't forgive one another, they're suffering with unforgiveness, they can't get past certain things that have happened in their life. Some people are suffering with spousal problems. Oh my, I can't count the number. We're just talking to somebody this week having terrible spousal problems. The husband is a narcissist, and he got around a bunch of Christians. They just moved to another city from another city, and around a bunch of Christians that don't believe that a Christian can have a demon, and now he's told his wife that was raised up in our church before, and now she's married to this guy, and they all told him in his Bible, "Oh, you can have a demon," and now he's saying, "Well, I don't have any demons," and while he's abusing his wife, really? Don't have any demons, and you're there mistreating her, and talking anyway, using all kinds of profanity. You don't have any demons, really? Where do you think all that stuff come from? You think it comes from the Holy Spirit? I don't think the Holy Spirit would cuss out his wife every day. You know, I don't think that the Holy Spirit would, he's not married, of course, but I don't think he would go around abusing the children, do you? You know, I think he loves little children. He said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me," right? So he's not going to do that. So where's that coming from? You know, it doesn't come from the Lord. Where do you think it's coming from? Where do you think abuse comes from in this world? Oh, I can't count the number of women that have been sexually abused that we've ministered to over the years. So many of them, I can't count them all. I mean, it's so common, so common. But anyway, I'm getting off track here. Let me continue on this here. Hallelujah. So Jesus saw hungry people and looked into the realm of the supernatural and saw them all being fed here, as we saw in John 6. How are they going to get fed? Well, he looked in the spirit. I see, beyond the natural realm. You know, God knows how to multiply food. I remember a pastor that I knew years ago. I spoke in his church, and he took an offering, and he said it's not enough to meet the needs of the church. And so he just recounted it, and that's still not enough, but there was more there. And every time he counted it, there was more money there in the offering until they had what they needed. And he didn't take another one. He just kept counting it over and over, and every time he counted it, more money was there. God multiplied the money. Well, he told Peter to go, was it Peter, to go get the tax money out of a fish, go fishing? How many want to go fishing for some gold? I mean, well, that's what he did. He got his tax money, and some people owe big taxes, right? So, wow, if he could do that, he could multiply food, he could do anything. We limit God so much. We really do. We got to believe more. We got to copy Jesus. He was your example, right? So Jesus saw the hungry people, and he saw them fed. And we need to be like Jesus, not look at things in the natural. We need to be able to make that shift with our eyes and to step over. It's so easy to step over into the spirit. It's just like taking a step. After all, you have the mind of Christ. Everybody say, I have the mind of Christ.
I have the mind of Christ.
I may not be using it, but I have it.
Amen.
It's available for you. What's in the mind of Christ? Whatever's in the mind of Jesus? Whatever's in the Word of God? A lot of Christians need to read their Bible, though, so they know what's in there and what's in their mind. If you don't know what's in your mind, how are you going to use it? Comes out of the Word, doesn't it? Amen. So Jesus, he moved over in that realm so many times, and we need to be able to do it too. And we need to instantly lift up our eyes, instead of just, wait till it gets so bad. Well, maybe I'll look to Jesus now. It's got so bad, I don't know how I'm going to get it through another day, man. I better call on the name of the Lord. Why don't you call on the name of the Lord first, instead of waiting until it gets that bad? See? He's there. He's waiting for you to call upon him. He's waiting. It's up to you. See, right before the miracle of raising the dead, Jesus made the shift. Right before the miracle of feeding thousands, Jesus made the shift. He looked up. He looked into the spirit. He looked beyond the natural. There's plenty of power in God's realm to multiply the bread and the fishes. I mean, it's not a problem. He created the earth. He created the universe. So why is it a problem for him to do these things? We think it's too hard. We got so much unbelief in America. We don't believe that he does these things. But I've seen him do it. I've seen him do it over and over and over in people, miracles and deliverance. One guy is about, 23 years old. We were ministering deliverance to him, and he was up against the wall, and he climbed up the wall backwards. The demons were manifesting. People don't do that in the natural. You can't climb the wall backwards. But this guy did. As I was casting the demons out, another guy lifted up off the ground his body in a way that is impossible for his body to lift up off the ground. See? These things are supernatural realm, and it's very real. I saw something about... I just flipped on the TV just for 1 minute last night, maybe about 5 minutes, and saw this thing on the History Channel. Anybody see that about this couple that collects cursed objects? Crazy people, if you ask me. They're full of the devil. But anyway, they had this one cursed object that was the worst in their collection. And they said that one guy begged them to let him see it. They kept it in a box wrapped up in a towel. And one guy flew in and begged them to let him see it, and so they agreed to let him see it. And so when they unwrapped it and he saw it, he began to just bleed out of his mouth and just began to have all kinds of physical issues, and they had to call an ambulance for him. Because there is really things that are cursed objects that people shouldn't have in their possession. But this couple had a whole basement full of cursed objects. People would mail stuff to him that was cursed. Why would anybody want to do it? I believe they were Satanists, personally. You know, I believe they were in the occult, because they finally had to take this cursed object, it said, and take it out to the forest where it was found, and get rid of it, because it was so cursed it was just causing too much trouble. And so they took it out there, and they said, it was a woman with nails in its head, a bunch of nails in its head, a carving of a woman with nails in its head. And so they took it out there into the forest, and they got rid of the thing, and they pulled those nails out, and they heard all kinds of strange noises around them. And as they pulled that last nail, all the coyotes all around began to scream for no reason. They were just all howling, so many of them at once. You know, I tell you, I can't imagine what that couple must live with as far as torment, you know, to have that many things in their basement from all around the world even. I've gone into homes and cleaned up homes before many times and prayed over the home and told people to get rid of certain things. I don't know. It tells a lot of stories in that book of things I've done. But one house that this woman had something laying on her at night, you know, with devils, night spirits that came to her. And she had certain accursed things, a demonic clown in her house. And some other things that we told her, hey, if you get rid of these, you want this stuff to stop. You need to get rid of these things. And so she finally agreed, because she was just so tormented at night with these spirits laying on top of her at night and other things that they were doing, which I'm not going to mention here. But she got rid of them. She let me get rid of them and anoint her house with oil, and she had no more problems. She slept great at night, no more problem. But see, if we get rid of the cursed stuff, we can have a healthier life, you know, and we can have better relationships with people. We can have better marriages too, right? Because if you have a bunch of cursed stuff in your home, what's it going to do for you? You know, it's not going to help. It's not going to build a relationship. It's going to cause division and strife, because that's what the enemy's about. He's not to bring unity and love for one another. He wants to hurt you. Okay, so let's move on here. I could go on telling stories for the whole 45 minutes here, and I have too many stories to tell, right? Because too many things have happened over the years that I could tell you about. All right, let's go to Luke 6:20. If you want to look it up with me. Luke 6:20. It says, and he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be ye the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. He was going to speak one of his most important messages, right? But he lifted up his eyes in the spirit toward his disciples, primarily them, even though he was speaking to many. And he went into the spirit to give this message, see? And so before teaching this most important sermon, he had to step over beyond the natural to have the power of the spirit to teach the people and his disciples to be able to receive the word. So, when you share, you know, you never go in your own power, right, Pastor? When you get up here, you go by the power of the Spirit. If we did it in our power, without him, nothing. I could do nothing. I could cast out a demon. You know, look at what happened to the seven sons of Sceva. They tried to do it in their own power. Because the demon attacked them and tore them up, man. They went out naked. So I can't go up against these things in my power. I remember this one woman, and she wrote a book about it. This is just ridiculous. She believed that God sent this being to be her partner. She lived in Florida, and she wrote a book about it. And I think she might have even mentioned me in this book, because I tried to help her, but she didn't receive it. Because she believed that she was lonely, you know, and she felt that God sent this spirit, you know, to have relationships with her. And she took a picture of it, a physical picture. I have the picture, you know. And it looked like a strange being, but a little bit human, but not really human at all. And she wouldn't give it up. I told you, this is a demonic entity. And this is common. I hear from people a lot that are having sexual relations with spirits, okay? This is a real thing that happens. And so she was stubborn. She wouldn't give it up because she felt it was a gift from God. Is Satan a gift from God? I had a problem with that one. I tried to tell her, but anyway, I did have a picture of that one. And a lot of times, there's another one that I could tell you about that a person took a picture of. They had an accident. How many know that accidents many times are caused by demons? They don't just happen for no reason. And they looked over in the woods right there by the accident. There was some demonic entity there. And someone took a picture of them, and they saw them. You think they caused the accident? Very likely. Any of you ever been to an accident, seen a dead person? That's tragic. You know, I have. When we pastored in Arkansas, you know, we saw one. Oh, I did. I don't know if you were with me that day. But it's a sad thing to see a dead person laying there. And God doesn't do that. He's not in the business going around killing people. He loves people. He said, I'm come that you might have what? Life, and have it more abundantly. See, Satan's here to steal, kill, destroy. That's his agenda. And if anything's happening in your life right now that's stealing, killing, and destroying, I guarantee you God doesn't have anything to do with it. Okay? You say, well, I'm being punished by God. No, you're not. God bore your punishment on the cross 2,000 years ago, right? So he's not punishing you. So a lot of people think when they sin, they got to, you know, punish themselves. You know, that comes out of religion, you know. That comes out of, you know, a religious spirit. They want you to always be suffering because look what you did wrong. Look at your sin in your life. You got to suffer for that. You got to pay. Well, no, Jesus paid my price. He paid your price. He's forgiven us. The blood of Jesus, it says, cleanses us from how much sin? A little bit? No, all of it, see? So I'm not bearing the punishment for my sin. Paul said I was the chief of all sinners. And he didn't bear the punishment for his sin. Okay? A lot of people say, well, it's thorn in the flesh. But the Bible says that was a messenger of Satan. That wasn't from God. He got rid of that. When you're weak, you're strong, right? That's what the Bible says. And so he became totally dependent on God. You know, he asked God to deliver him. And Noah said, hey, I've given you my grace. I've given you my authority. Get rid of that demon. You don't have to carry that. Use your authority. See? And he got rid of that. But religion says, oh, yeah, everybody's got to have a thorn in the flesh. Everybody's got to be suffering. You know, that's religion. That's a religious spirit. They want you to suffer. They want you to get religious and think that God is mean and he's punishing you and he's after you to get you for all the stuff you've done wrong in your life. How many done wrong stuff? I raised both hands, you know. We've all done wrong stuff. We all ought to pay, but Jesus, he paid it. We're good, man. If we've got the blood of Jesus, we're good. If you accept the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin. So I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And the devil hates it when you know that. You know, I was just ministering deliverance up in Sheridan, and we put our hands on this one girl. She was just tormented and just kept saying, the blood of Jesus over, the blood of Jesus. And then she reached both hands up and trying to push our hands off because the demons hate the blood of Jesus. Do you know how powerful the blood of Jesus is? You ought to put it all over your house, over your cars, over your business, where you work. Just walk around the blood of Jesus. I cover this place with the blood of Jesus. After all, you're a priest and a king. What did the priests of the Old Testament do? They used the blood, right? They used the blood. They were covered in blood after offering many sacrifices, but we have a better sacrifice, the blood of Jesus. And he gave that blood to us. We're kings and priests. So use that blood. Cover that child. If you have a rebellious child, cover them with the blood of Jesus. Anoint their pillows with oil, you know? Be bold and use your authority. Don't sit around and waiting for God to show up when God's already showed up. He's in your spirit right now. He's there. All right, stay with my notes. I'm just getting all over the place here, but I'm just doing what the Spirit saying, you know. So look up. Look up. John 17:1. Another one. These words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Okay. You got to look up. See? He lifted up his eyes to heaven. Have you been doing that? Why don't you try doing that? Lift your eyes into the spirit realm. Everything can change. See? You got to make a decision. Quit panicking. Some people have panic attacks. Oh, we've ministered to many have panic attacks. Christians. I'm talking about Christians. Most of our deliverance is done for Christians because unbelievers can't keep any demons out unless they're ready to get saved. Panic attack. We just had one recently having panic attacks that I was praying for. Some people are living in perpetual fear. Some people look at all the problems in the world today. Kind of a fearful situation in the natural. But see, not with God. So you step over into the heavenly realm. Start looking through the eyes of the Lord, through the eyes of the Word. Things will change. Some of you need to really start doing that because you've been really bogged down lately, is what I'm sensing. You know, some people have allowed the circumstances to really beat them up. And God doesn't want you to live that way. He wants you to lift up and look up. Look at Him. Because He loves you. He's got everything in His hand, but you've got to let Him take over. You've got to yield. Yield. Okay? So, never go in your own power. You got to go in the power of the Lord. And when you pray, you need to lift up your eyes. Prayers get nowhere unless we step over out of the realm of the natural into the realm of faith, into the realm of the Spirit. See? And we begin in heavenly realm to see divine possibilities in every situation. And in fact, it will go beyond what we can even see because eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Right? What the Lord has prepared and what He will do. So, remember, without Him, we're all sunk. It's hopeless without Him. But we have Him. How many know the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength? Everybody say it. The joy of the Lord is my strength. See? There's such a thing that is spiritual joy that can rise up within you if you go over into that realm, see? And let that rise up in every situation, every circumstance. That joy of the Lord has seen me through many times, being over in that realm. Look at Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Give you another scripture. Maybe I'm using too many scriptures. I don't know how many Pastor Gary uses, but Colossians 3, 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things, what? Which are above, the spiritual realm, above. It's above the natural realm. And that's where God wants us to begin to focus. Where Christ sits on the right hand of God, set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. See? Look up. Lift up your eyes. Tell your neighbor, look up. Just look at them and tell them, you need to look up. Mm-hmm. See, when you're faced with family problems, anybody ever had family problems? I know a lot of people have. I know a family right now that, you know, he's in the ministry, but they are infighting so bad with the family member. I don't know how he's doing it. He's a deliverance guy out in Washington, or is it Oregon? I think Oregon, yeah. And man, the family can't get along. And they're all Christians, but they're fighting one another. See? Lift up your eyes. Marriage problem? Worry. Oh, man, worry is a big one for Christians. Hey, some people lay up all night worrying about their children, worrying about life, impossibilities, sickness. I mean, sickness is a big one, too. I mean, how many have ever been sick in here? I don't have to ask that question. You like it?
No.
Is it fun? How many think that Jesus went around praying for everybody to get sick? That's what religion thinks. Oh, God's going to get a lot of glory out of my sickness. No. No, he went around and healed all that were sick and cast demons out. See, that's what Jesus did. So he's not making you sick. It did come from God. Oh, it came from God because I sinned. No, no. You may have opened a door to the enemy and he attacked you, but it didn't come from God. Amen. God's not doing that. God's a good God. He's a God of love, of compassion. How about fear? Fear is such a big one. So many Christians living in fear today. I probably run up against that one as much as against lust. Those are some of the biggest ones. Fear, lust, people dealing with that. Lift up your eyes. When you feel like a failure, a lot of people feel like a failure. They're Christian, but they feel like a failure. What? Was Jesus a failure? Who do you have living inside of you? What's his name?
Jesus.
Is Jesus a failure?
No.
Are you a failure?
No.
Your flesh is a failure. In your flesh dwelleth no good thing. But hey, my spirit is alive.
Yes.
Jesus is in your spirit. You're alive in there. So start living from your spirit instead of living from your flesh. If you live from your flesh, you're going to have a lot of problems. Because no good thing dwells in my flesh. But I'm not living from there. I try not to live from there, man. By the grace of God, by the power of the Spirit, I'm going to live in the Spirit. The Bible said, walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the all those lusts of the flesh. Because it's laden with lust. I'm not just talking about sexual lust. Lust for money, lust for power. Look at the lust for power up there, this Biden administration. They're crazy. You know, they're lusting for power. They don't want to give it up. And they'll do whatever they can to keep it. Right? Lie, steal, kill, cheat. That's what they do. A pervert, man, they are purveyors of perversion. They're going to reap what they sow because they're living under the law. They're not saved. They're going to reap what they sow. It won't be pleasant for them. But that's another story. I'm not going to get into that. But I want to continue to finish this here today because I'm running out of time here. I'm certainly not going to be able to share it all, but I'll give you what I can. When you truly lift up your eyes, huh?
Sure.
No, I want to try to get you out by about noon. Right? So, when you truly lift up your eyes and see into God's realm, your doctrines might get shook up a little bit. You may have to say, as I have had to say many times over the years, I've had it wrong, right? Because we're all a work in progress. We're all growing. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, saying I missed it on something, right? We're always learning in God. You know, there's always more revelation knowledge being given by the Holy Spirit. And so, yeah, I've missed it on some things. I used to believe in a pre-trib rapture, but now I believe only in the second coming of Christ. You know, but I used to teach you to believe it in the beginning days of my pastoral ministry. But I learned that's not in the Bible. But other things, too, I've had to correct. But when you see beyond the natural, you're going to see how the ungodly power structures and lies of the earth realm function and pump out deceptions. Remember in 1 John it says, the whole world lieth in wickedness. We need to understand that part. See? Because you go out here in everything, every realm of this world, there's some wickedness there. Right? Hollywood, you know, there's a lot of wickedness, right? But in business, there's corruption, there's wickedness. Just about everything, even the medical profession, there's wickedness in there. You know, there's corruption, there's pharmacia. I'm not saying don't ever go to doctors. I don't teach that, but I'm just saying there's corruption in everything because the whole world lieth in wickedness. And the Bible said, love not the world. Neither the things of the world, because if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. So if you're loving the world, what are you actually doing? You're loving the world system of darkness. See? And I don't love the world system of darkness because it's darkness. They all dwell in darkness. See, you know, when you were lost, you were walking around like a dead zombie. Your spirit was dead, right? And you're walking around like some kind of zombie in this world because, you know, there's no light in you. You know, if you could see into the spirit realm, you would, for every Christian, you would see light walking around, and the devil sees light. He knows you're a Christian. He can see in the realm of the spirit. Demons do. And you're a bright little light walking around in this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine, right? So you're walking around as a little light. And if you could see into the spirit realm, you'd see light and dark. The person that don't have Jesus, it's just walking around darkness. And that's what we were before we asked Jesus into our heart. See? But now we have light. See? And the enemy hates us. And he'd like to do us all in if he could. But thank God the angels of the Lord encamp around you every day. They protect you so many times. Oh, we could talk more on that, but I'm going to try to finish this. Yeah. Anyway, you know, it's somewhat like when you go up an airplane. How many have been up an airplane? You know, I'm a pilot. I remember flying one time to Rock Springs from Pocatello when we pastored there before we met you guys. And it was horrible weather over Rock Springs, and I was running low on fuel. And I said, God, what are we going to do? I can't get over there. We were going to a conference in Colorado, my daughter and me. And what are we going to do? I can't land. We need fuel and the lightning. You don't want to fly a small plane in lightning. You can maybe do it in a jet, but you don't want to do it in a small plane like I was flying. So we prayed and rebuked that storm over the airport, and it just went. And I landed and got fuel. And the guy on the ground that was helping me with the fuel, he said, wow, it was just thundering and lightning and storming right here just a minute ago, and it just left. But see, God can do that, right? He could, you'll have authority even over nature, right? He calmed the sea. But the point is, I'm getting to about this, is when you're up in the air, how many know that when you look out the window, you can see a lot more than you could see when you're on the ground, right? It's a whole different picture up there. I love it. I love to see things from up above. And so you saw a little bit on the ground, but up in the air, you see a whole lot. And no, you don't see everything. You don't see the whole world. But you see a whole lot more than what you saw on the ground. And so as we begin to look into the spirit, same thing happened. We come up higher, you know, above. We're stepping up into the heavenly realms. See, this is beneath. You know, a lot of Christians just looking down all the time, looking at all the problems, looking at all the difficulties in their life. Look at how bad things have been, financial situations. How am I going to pay this? How am I going to get through this? You need to shift your eyes. You need to speak what the word said. My God shall supply all my needs. He's going to do it. Stop looking at your pocketbook. Stop looking at your checking account. Hey, if you're a tither, you know God's going to provide for you. He always has for me. I mean, we've gone through lean times, but we've always had enough. God always provides. Sometimes miraculously, I tell you, over the years, we've seen miracles in finances. So as we begin to look up and we come up higher, things are much clearer. We see the demon control even over our own life sometimes and what they've done in our lives. The hierarchy of their evil work against humanity, even their work on others and how subtle they are, how sneaky they are against us. Even their work in, you know, how they peddle sickness. Many times you'll be tempted to get sick, and they're just testing you to see if they can get it on you. And if you rebuke it right then, you're not going to get sick, okay? Other times you do get attacked. You look at things, you look at the moral corruption, you look at greed, how they're spreading that, false doctrines. Law keeping as a means to get to God, really? That's what all the religions of the world do. They have to do something. Ours was a free gift. Hallelujah. Believe and you shall receive. And people are tormented with guilt and condemnation. The falseness of gaining power over others. That Jesus leaves you when you sin. What did he say? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He doesn't leave you. Now, a lot of people think he does, but he doesn't. Well, I sin, God's not going to have anything to do with me. Well, that's what the devil tells you. But that's not true. He said, I'll never leave you. If you're born again, he doesn't leave. Now, you could grieve the Holy Spirit, but it never says the Holy Spirit's going to leave you, right? Maybe you've taught all this stuff to him. I don't know, but you hear from somebody else, it's sometimes good. But you mean if I'm driving 85 on the interstate, God doesn't leave my car? No, he doesn't. You mean I'm speeding, I'm breaking the law? Well, he doesn't leave you. You know? Well, some people think that that God leaves you. Well, what if you had a wreck then and died? You think you're going to hell?
No.
That's stupid. You know? Do you think that everybody that commits suicide goes to hell? I know a minister that committed suicide. He was just overwhelmed by the demons and he couldn't control himself. Do you think that he went to hell? I mean, he was a born-again guy. You know? I don't know for sure, but I don't think he did. You know? Some people think, cut black and white, everything black and white, you know. But they don't understand all this stuff. They don't understand how demons can overwhelm a Christian and they can get so depressed, they get so discouraged that the enemy drives them into killing themselves. See? They hate what's going on, but they don't understand that it was a demon that was doing that to them. So I'm not saying that every Christian who has killed himself goes to hell. I can't say that. Can you say that? I can't say it. But some people just say, oh yeah, they killed themselves. They're going to hell. But they were overwhelmed by demons. They were eating them up. They didn't know it. A lot of churches don't teach about deliverance and getting free from the demons, so they didn't know any better. What could they do? You know? And I'm not saying, go kill yourself. No, of course not. I'm just saying, you just don't know in every case, because some people are so tormented in the church, and we've met so many who have been so tormented by guilt, so tormented by different things in their life that they've done in the past, and they didn't understand that God's really forgiven them all, and they're clean by the blood, but the demons are just hanging on them and harassing them. Anyway. Many believers, I'm sad to say it, but many believers will never lift up their eyes. They're stuck in stubbornness, and they just won't look up when they ought to be looking up. Yet Jesus said to us, and probably I better make this my last scripture, John 4:35. Say not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to the harvest. Listen, folks, I know that this church I'll be full, right? There's a harvest out here in Rawlins, Wyoming. And you just have to lift up your eyes and see into the Spirit if they're ever going to come in, come to Jesus. Because God has a way to reach them that maybe you never even thought of. So there is a harvest of people out here that are hurting, that need deliverance, that need help, that need healing, that need Jesus. It's a condition that every city is in. The majority are not saved in America's cities. There may be a lot of religious people, but just because you're religious doesn't mean you're born again. You have to have Jesus inside. So there are people out here that are yet to be reached, right? In Rawlins, Wyoming, that really desperate conditions out here, right? It's everywhere. So Jesus said, look up your eyes and look beyond your ability and begin to see from God's ability how much is impossible to God. What does the Bible say about that? Nothing shall be impossible to God. So even whatever you're facing, it's not impossible to God. Whatever you have to deal with, the decisions you have to make, it's not impossible to God. The question is, how big is your God right now? You see the little one in a box? Got him all locked up in here in your own opinion of him? Or are you going to let him be as big as he is? You're going to let him manifest big in your life and do what he wants to do. and do what he said he will do in those who would believe him. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know about all of you. Your pastor knows probably, but I don't know. But I'm telling you, you got to let him be bigger than he is right now. And you got to shift your gazing from the circumstances and the situations and the demons and the darkness around you and look into him. Because I know where my help comes from. You know where yours come from? Come from above. Everybody say, my help comes from above. And it's coming right now. See, you got to believe that way. It's not coming off way off in the future. Like you, Pastor, said, by faith and patience. But it's coming right now. See, that's my mentality. It's coming right now. I have it. My help comes from above. And it's here. It's here. God is good. Amen. So God is speaking to each of us today. He's saying, quit living and seeing only in the natural. Lift up your eyes into the heavenly realm, into the mountain of the house of the Lord, into Zion. The life of Zion is the life of the overcomer. Lift up your eyes. That's where your help's coming from. Faith sees into God's place. By lifting up your eyes, God will open up the eyes of your understanding too. And you give revelation knowledge, and you need revelation knowledge to live in the times we're living in right now. You need revelation from God. You need to hear from heaven right now. We all do. We're living in times like no other, and we need to hear from heaven. We need to know how to deal with everything. We need to know how to forgive one another. That's a tough one in the body of Christ, because people get hurt. People get wounded. Oh, we've seen so many wounds. I met a pastor that came to one of our conferences one time, and all they could do was talk about how bad they were hurt. But remember that? They came from Boise, Idaho, and they came over to the conference, and we sat and had a meal with them. And that's all. They were so hurt, so bad, so painful. And Christians, they get hurt. We hurt one another. You've never been hurt till you've been hurt by another Christian, right? I mean, it's one thing for an unbeliever out there that don't know any better to hurt you, but when you get hurt by another Christian, wow, right? It feels like betrayal. It feels like my own brother, my own sister. And so Linda and I learned to forgive. I mean, we've been in the pastoral ministry 40 years, and so we learned a long time ago, we got to forgive quickly, see? Because they're my brother and sister. We're going to spend eternity together forever. And if I can't forgive them now, how am I going to get in? Remember, it says if you don't forgive your brother and sister, you turned over to the what? Remember that scripture, turned over to torment. I don't want tormentors in my life. I've had enough of those. I've had a lot of deliverance. Got a lot of spirits out. I don't want any more tormentors. So we forgive quickly. So you do too, right? If you want to go on and walk in the Spirit, look up in that area too. You got to look up and say, Jesus forgave me. I'm forgiven so-and-so. Right? See? What is impossible to you has suddenly become possible. The impossible possible, right? It's suddenly possible when you look up into the realm of God. God's bigger than your problem, and he has answers and ways which you know not of. But the key is to lift up your eyes, look into the heavenly realms. See? Stop thinking in the natural all the time. Stop yourself. Wait a minute. I want to flip that guy off. He pulled in front of me. I want to cuss him out. No. What? Wait a minute. I'm looking up into heaven. Where'd that come from? That was a demon. You know, I'm going to look into heaven. What would Jesus do? Wave at him and smile, you know, and move on. Right? Move on and say, I bless that person in the name of the Lord. Save that man. Save that woman. Save that crazy person over there. That person on drugs, alcohol, whatever. You know, save them. Minister to them, Lord. I know. That's another realm, right? Who wants to live that way? You know? Hey, I do. Because I'm God's child and you're God's child. And got to step into that realm. See? If you want to go all the way with God, I don't want to go that far. Okay, you don't have to. Become as comfortable in the heavenly as you are in the natural. Okay? God don't know the word impossible. He doesn't know that word. So quit thinking, that's impossible. That person will never get saved. Really? You believe that? They're so bad, they'll never get saved. They're on drugs. They're all messed up. They'll never get saved. Well, he saved me. He saved your pastor. Don't give up. Pray for him. Intercede for him. Cover him with the blood. You know? Bind the demons. Remember, it says that people are taken captive by the devil at his will. See, they're blind. So bind the demons that have got them blind. If you have a loved one like that today, bind the demons that have blinded their eyes and release the Holy Spirit to go and convict them. See, you have some power to pray. You have a lot of power, actually. If you knew how much, you would be in awe. Right? You have the power to pray. You have the power to bind and loose the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You have that authority. God gave it to you. See? You don't know how powerful you are. You know? And most believers, they think they're so unworthy. They think, so much wrong in my life. I couldn't do that. There's stuff wrong in all of our life. There's still stuff wrong in my life. It's a progressive work that God does in us until he comes back. None of us have arrived here. None of us got everything straightened up in our life. Quit thinking that you have to be this perfect Christian to ever do anything or use your authority or become anything in God. You're already that person, but the devil doesn't want you to know it. He created you to rule and reign in life through one Christ Jesus, right? That's what he created you to do. So when you lift up your eyes, you're able to draw from the kingdom that is unlimited in power, and to your God, all things are possible. All things are possible. And yeah, things can change. You can change. And God has a spiritual answer for your natural problems, whatever they are. He has a spiritual answer for you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, I better stop here. Whatever those problems and difficulties are, you need to give them to Jesus. Today, right now, you don't have to walk out with them. You can if you want to. You like to keep your problems? Keep them. You like to keep your demons? Keep them. But you don't have to. Okay? You want to do 5 or 10 minutes of deliverance for everybody? You want to do that or you want to just go on home? It's up to you. How many want to do a little deliverance before you go? Only two. Okay. Okay. We could just do a few things, just a little bit. I'm not going to do much because it's 10 after. And I don't want to keep you past your buffet time. But, you know. But we'll just do a little bit of prayer here because I just sense that there's some fear, some stress, some anxiety in here that you need to let go of and get rid of it today. And so we'll kind of just deal with them and anything else the Lord tells me. But that's it. So first of all, you must be born again. Have you asked Jesus, everyone in here, have you asked Jesus in your heart? If not, right now is the time to do it. Okay, just say, Jesus, come into my heart. Wash me in your blood. Right now, just say it to him. If you're not born again, just say, Jesus, come into my heart. I believe you're God. Wash me in your blood. I give you my life. In fact, we just all say it out loud. I give you my life. From this day forward. And forever. I'm yours. Do what you want with me. I love you, Lord. Forgive me for all my sins. Wash me in your blood. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now that's all that you need to do to get deliverance. It says believe that the spirits will come out. So we're going to do that right now and command some spirits to come out. I don't know. You do at mass deliverance here?
Not too much on a Sunday, but
okay. You want me to do a little bit? I'm not going to do much. So, all right. Because I want to just deal with what I sense going on here. All right, everybody say this with me. In the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I command every wicked spirit in me,
I command every wicked spirit in me
to come out in Jesus' name.
Come out in Jesus' name.
I reject you.
I don't want you.
I cover myself with the blood of Jesus and my family and everything that pertains to me. Now go in Jesus' name. All right, now I'm going to start commanding them to come out, and they come out through your breath, usually coughing, sighing, yawning, breathing. So I might have you cough a few times to release them, and just let them go. You might feel something rising up in you, getting angry, or, you know, we've had people run out before. The spirits didn't want them getting any deliverance, but you want deliverance. You're serious, right? All right, we're coming against the spirit of anxiety. Some of you are troubled. And we come against anxiety right now. You're anxious about things. You're troubled about things. We command that anxiety spirit to come up on the surface in the name of Jesus and come out right now. Loose them and let them go. All that anxiety, all that stress, come out in Jesus' name. Come out. All the way out. The blood of Jesus. You come out of there right now. Loose her. All that anxiety, tormenting anxiety. Come out. Let it go. All the way out. Take a couple of deep coughs. Everybody take a few. Come out of there. All the way out. All that anxiety. Come out in Jesus' name. Out. All that anxiety. Come out of there. All the way up out of there. Go in the name of Jesus. Let it go. All that anxiety. Up and out. The blood of Jesus. You have to go. Up out of there. Go. All that anxiety. Come out. All that worry, come out. All that stress, come out of there. Come out right now in the name of Jesus. All that stress, all that anxiety, all that spirit of fear. We speak to the spirit of fear right now. You come up out of there. Go. All that fear, come out. The blood of Jesus. You come out. Spirit of fear. Everybody take a couple of deep coughs. Let it go. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Let them go. The spirits is in the air. The Bible says it. In the breath. It comes out in the air. Come out. Come out of there. That's what the word actually means. The spirit and the wind, the breath. Come out of there. All the way out. Go. That's another story. I have to teach that another time. Or your pastor could teach you. Keep coming out of there right now. Go. All that worry. All that fear. Spirit of fear. Come out. Spirit of fear, come out. All the way in Jesus' name. Any kind of unforgiveness, just come out too. Any unforgiveness in here, you come out. Any bitterness, you think of that person, you have a bad feeling toward them, you come out. All that unforgiving spirit right now, bitterness, come out. Out of here. All the way out. Come on, we break that curse of that unforgiving spirit. Come out. I'm a yawner. When I get a deliverance, I usually yawn. But some people just breathe them out. It's simple. Come out of there in the name of Jesus. Come out of there. All unforgiveness, any bitterness here, you got to go. Loose them and let them go. Any kind of fear, come out. Any kind of strife, go. Out of there. All the way up out of there. Go in Jesus' name. Go in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. We thank you for the blood. Keep coming out. The blood of Jesus over my brother. Lord, bless him. Minister to him, encourage him, Father, and his wife, Father, that you bless this couple, Father, that the power of God touch them right now. In the name of Jesus. Go right through them. In the name of Jesus, let the power of God touch this couple, Father. Precious couple, bless them, Lord. One more. All anger. Come out, anger. We bind that spirit of anger and rage. We command that spirit of anger and rage to loose people, let them go. Loose them. All that anger. Come out, anger. Come out. We're talking to you spirits. We're not talking to people right now. We're dealing in the spirit. Come out, anger. All anger, all rage, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. All anger, come up out of there. The blood of Jesus, come out. All anger. You've been hurt, you're angry. You've been wounded, you're angry. You've been abused, you're angry, whatever it is, you come out of there right now. Whatever that root is, come out in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. All that anger, that rage, that hurt, that pain, come out. Out. All that anger. If you've been rejected, you're angry. People who've been rejected, rejection is a big spirit. So many people have that spirit of rejection. They're tormented. They're angry because they weren't loved. They weren't accepted. Somebody abandoned them. Somebody hurt them. Come out of there right now. All the way out. I bind you. I break your hold. You've been hurt, you've been wounded, but the Lord loved you. Don't believe the lies of the enemy tell you you're unlovable. That's a lie of the enemy. Come out of there. All that anger, all that wound, that deep-rooted wound, come out. Come out right now. Loose her, let her go. Come out of there. All the way up out of there. Loose her, let her go. All the way. Yes, you will. You come out of there. Come out of her spinal column. Come out of her. All the way up out of there. Move. Let it go. All the way out. Let it go. All the way up and out. Up and out. The blood of Jesus against you, demon. You cannot have this woman come out. The blood of Jesus, you cannot have him. Cannot have him. Keep going. All the way out. The blood of Jesus. All that anger, all that rage, all that bad temper, come out. All the way out. All that spirit of rejection. They rejected me. I gave my life to them and they rejected me. I thought they would love me. I thought they would care for me, and they rejected me. My daddy wasn't there for me, you know? He wasn't there. I needed his love. I needed his affection, but he was always busy. He was always working. So many people have a spirit of rejection from father. Rejection by father. Loose them. Let them go. Rejection by father. Come out in the name of Jesus. Right now. All the way out. Loose them and let them go. In the name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. You could take authority over spirits yourself, you know. You could do that. But I don't have time to do anymore, so we're going to just stop right here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You want to close, or you want me to close? Huh? You want me to close? Okay. Father, we just thank you for, how many feel like you got something out today? Anybody feel like you did? Okay. Praise the Lord. There's a number of hands. Good. But there's more. I just did a very short version, but you kind of see how it goes. And you could do self-deliverance too. You can command things to get out of you. You have the authority. But sometimes it helps to get your pastor and his wife to cast things out of you too. All right, so Father, seal this deliverance that people have received today. We thank you for this word today that you blessed them with, Father. We thank you for, Lord, the dear pastor and his dear wife, Lord, here, and ask your blessing on this church, Father. And, Lord, we pray this ministry will increase and become everything you want it to be for your glory. Everybody agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, bless you. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.